So yesterday we said Chazak to complete Sefer Bereishit. And we are now embarking, as you have been introduced in the previous shiur, on a new chapter of Jewish history to be depicted throughout Sefer Shmot. A chapter of Galut, of which we were reminded very much when we fasted unusually on Friday, Asara B'Tevet, all the way through the beginning of Shabbat, and a Sefer of Geula. The Sefer begins, Ve'ele Shemot, and these are the names. Very unusual that a new Chumash within Chamisha Chumshei Torah should begin with and, obviously indicating to us, as many Parshanim have noted, that this Sefer and its narratives are actually a continuation of the events and experiences that have already been described in Sefer Bereishit. Ramban indicates to us in his introduction to Sefer Shmot that, in fact, the beginning of the story of Galut Mitzrayim starts in Parashat Vayigash, in which the 70 individuals who descend into Mitzrayim are enumerated, and they are once again described to us in a brief form at the beginning of Sefer Shmot. Ve'ele Shmot b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayima et Yaakov ish uveito ba'u. But in actuality, if we study Ramban a little more closely, we learn that the story of Galut Mitzrayim does not begin with the story of Yaakov and his family descending to Egypt in order to reunite with Yosef. But it began long ago, in the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha, as we know it in source number one. As we are all familiar, Avram, because of a famine, leaves Eretz Canaan when he apparently had just arrived there. And he goes down to Egypt, as the text says in Bereishit Perek Yud Bet, Lagul Sham, Vayered Avram Mitzrayma Lagul Sham, to live there as a ger, as a stranger, as a temporary resident, until the famine shall pass, and he will be able to return to Eretz Canaan. Unfortunately, he encounters much trial and tribulation while in Egypt. His wife is kidnapped because of his attempt, in fact, to save himself and her through the sister-wife ruse. Ultimately, it is Hashem who saves the day and brings about Nigaim, plagues on Paro, so that Avram and Sarah can return peacefully to Eretz Canaan and continue the mission which they had started. The Midrash, which is quoted by the Ramban in source number 2, tells us, as I have underlined, Lo nafal davar mikol me'ora ha'av shelo yeh babanim. Va'inyan hazeh pershuru bivreishit rabah. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Yoshaya Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvraham, Tse uchevosh et haderech lifnei banecha. Ve'ata motse, kol ma shekatuv b'Avraham, katuv b'vanav, v'Avraham katuv, v'yihi ra'av ba'aretz. V'Yisrael katuv, kizeh shnatayim ha'ra'av, b'kerev ha'aretz. The Midrash indicates to us everything that befell Avraham, our ancestor, our patriarch, is exactly what happened in the future to his children. In fact, the language is very parallel, as the Midrash indicates. But pay attention to Rabbi Pinchas' statement. He maintains that Hashem had said to Avraham, go out and conquer the way before your children. Tse uchvosh et haderech lifnei banecha. The import of the Midrash seems to indicate that Hashem wanted Avraham to leave Canaan, to go to Egypt, to undergo the various trials and experiences which he did, so that ultimately he would understand what B'nai Israel would experience much later on in Jewish history, and he would presage and foreshadow that ultimately there would be redemption from Egypt, just as Hashem sent plagues to Paro in this episode in Sefer Bereishit, so too Hashem sends plagues to Paro and the Egyptians in Sefer Shmot, and we are redeemed in both episodes. Seems to be a very interesting lesson that we learn, that our ancestors carved out the footprints in the sand, so to speak, and we are following in their paths. But Ramban, curiously, right after citing this Midrashic exposition, states where I bold-faced in source 2, Vida, ki Avraham avinu chata chet gadol bishgaga. But you should know, says the Ramban, that our great forefather Avraham sinned a great sin, although it was bishgaga, although it was unintentional. Shehevi shto hatzadeket b'michshol avon, that he brought his wife, his righteous wife, into a situation where she might be compromised and might end up in a position where she would have to sin. Mipnei pachdo pen yahavu, because he was afraid that they might kill him. This refers to the wife's sister deception. V'hayalo liftoach v'Hashem. Avraham should have trusted in Hashem. Sheyatzil oto v'tishto v'tkol asher lo, ki yesh be'elokim koach la'azor u'la'atzil. That Hashem would save him and his family and all that belonged to him, because Hashem has the power to help and to save. But this is not the only sin of which Ramban critiques and criticizes Avraham Avinu. V'gam, gam yitziato min ha'aretz. Even his exodus from the land of Canaan, his exit rather, his departure from Canaan because of famine. Shenitzdaveh alea b'tchila b'nei ra'av, avon asher chata ki ha'elokim v'ra'av, yivdenu mimavet. According to Ramban, Avraham should never have left Canaan because of famine. He should have remained, trusted in Hashem, had emunah, that Hashem would redeem him from death. Ve'al ha'ma'aseh hazeh, nigzar al zar'o ha'galut be'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad Paro, b'mekom ha'mishpat shama ha'resha ve'achet. Because of this very incident, pay attention to Ramban's sharp language, it was decreed, nigzar, it was decreed on his descendants, the exile in the land of Egypt at the hands of Paro. Ramban seems to intimate, in a way that is more evaluative than the original Midrashic selection that he had presented as his precedent for his analysis, that not only Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, the actions of the forefathers, are a sign for what will happen to the children, not only is it merely that the forefathers foreshadow through their experiences the future destiny of the Jews in our history, but in actuality they are the ones who predetermine what will happen to our descendants in the future. Ramban seems to indicate in a very interesting way, in a very explosive manner perhaps, that had Avraham Avinu not sinned in this particular experience, we would not have been exiled to Egypt later on in Sefer Shmot. And there are many scholars who grapple with trying to understand, first of all, what is the sin that Avraham transgressed at this point? What is Ramban expecting of Avraham? And how is it that the children are to suffer as a result of the sins of the fathers. Now, first of all, we have to understand that although there are a number of Parshanim who maintain that this was one of the 10 tests of Abraham, that in fact Hashem wanted him to leave Canaan, that this was a test, he had just gotten there, and now as a result of famine he's forced to leave to find food, and ein somchim al anes, one does not generally rely on miracles, that this was the test, that Abraham has to leave and he should not have to, and the question is, will he hesitate? Will he begin to doubt and question all the great promises that Hashem had given to him? Lech lecha me'avtzecha, etc. Va'avarechecha, ve'escha legoy gadol, va'agad lashmecha. How is all this going to take place if he has to leave when he's just gotten to the promised land? And yet Ramban maintains, in this particular context, dafka, that Abraham left Canaan, that showed a lack of faith, a lack of emunah, of bitachon in Hashem. Ramban, as Rav Kupperman explains on this particular commentary, expected Abraham to say to Hashem, Yesh somchim al anes, I should rely on a miracle. In fact, Hashem, I expect you to perform a great miracle for me, that despite famine, there will be a way that you will save me and I will survive while staying in Canaan. Why is that? There are many parameters in which we are allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for various reasons, and halachically one of them is to have a parnasa, to find food. But if we read Ramban's statement more carefully, Gam yitziato min haaretz shemitztava alea batchila. He had just been commanded to come to Canaan. Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mibet avicha el haaretz asher areka. He had just been commanded to come to Canaan with great promise. Dafka Ramban says the command raised the bar of the relationship between Hashem and Abraham. Hashem had taken him out of Ur Kasdim. Hashem had brought him to this great land to fulfill a very important spiritual and divine mission. This greater relationship and intimacy between Hashem and Abraham, says the Ramban, allowed Abraham to reciprocally expect and even perhaps demand from Hashem that he take care of him. And therefore, leaving Canaan and acting like an ordinary individual who says, Ein solchim al anes, that detracted from the greatness which Hashem had just imparted upon Abraham, elevating his stature and status in the eyes of Hashem. And so therefore, one scholar of Moshe Slush says the following about our future galut in Egypt at the beginning of Sefer Shmot, and I quote, "Hatzorech begalut Mitzrayim nutzar b'ikvot I hatzlachato shel Avraham Avinu lahashrish ve'am Yisrael et melon koach ha'emuna." Or as he indicates, Kishalon ha'avot b'inyan misuyam yishir acharav chalal reik v'am Yisrael. According to Ramban, and as we will see, the Maharal emphasizes this further, there was a gap, a defect, in the shoresh ha'emunah, in the fundamental core essence of what it means to be a Jew. And that is our relationship with Hashem through emunah. And Hashem determined, he decreed, nigzar azaro, that ultimately the descendants of Abraham Avinu would have to go through a series of experiences which would help them to strengthen and enhance and truly fill in that gap of emunah, which is the foundation necessary, the prerequisite before we could stand at Har Sinai and receive the Torah. In fact, if you look in sources 3 through 5, I gave you the psukim that source number 5 in the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim is referring to. The Gemara in source number 5, Rabbi Abahu Amar Rabbi Eliezer, listening once again to the sharp language. Mipnei ma ne'enash Avraham Avinu. Why was Avraham punished? V'nishta abdu banav le'mitzrayim matayim ve'esar shanim, resulting in the enslavement of his children for 210 years. Just the question already imparts tremendous ramification. Now it is true that this Gemara does not cite the chait that Ramban relates to in the story of Mitzrayim Parashat Lech Lecha. It refers to other sins. I want to point out one that's very interesting, for example, because it's actually a pasuk that precedes the Brit Bein HaBetarim, where Avraham is informed about our ultimate descent to Eretz Lo Lahem, to a land that is not ours, where we were strangers and enslaved and persecuted. In that particular context, Avraham asks, after Hashem indicates to him that he will have the land of Eretz Yisrael for a legacy, for an inheritance, for all of his children, Avraham reacts and he says, Hashem Elohim, let me just go back and what Hashem says to him. Ani Hashem, asher hotzeticha me'ul kazim latet lecha et ha'aretz hazot lerishta. That's actually in source 4. I, Hashem, am the one who took you out from ul kazim to give this land to you, to inherit it, to conquer it. We will get back to this language, Ani Hashem, asher hotzeticha me'ul kazim, should certainly remind you of the language of the first of the Aseret HaDibrot, Anochi Hashem Alokecha asher hotzeticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. And Avraham reacts and he says, Hashem Elokim, v'maida ki'ir Hashena. And the Gemara on that context in source 5 on the third line, on the end of the second line, Shmuel says, Mipnei she'ifriz al midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ne'emar, bama eda ki ir Hashena. According to this Gemara, the Amora Shmuel says, this was a lack of faith on the part of Avraham Avinu. He is questioning. Look at Rashi in source 6 on the second line. On this Gemara, Yirva lahavher al midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He frees v'yeter v'hifkir. That Avraham Avinu was questioning too much about how is it that Hashem is going to make sure that I truly inherit the land. How will I know? How is this possible? The Gemara critiques Avraham's reaction in this particular context. And on this, the Maharal, in relationship to other sins, in quotes, that Avraham committed, which resulted in our punishment of Galut Mitzrayim, the Maharal says in source 7, at the end of the first line, V'davka b'cheit Avraham, mipnei ki min ha'shoresh v'ha'ikar nimshach hakol. She'im nimtza chisaron v'shoresh. I'm at the bottom of this page 2, the last line, source 7, im nimtza chisaron v'shoresh. Im ashech ha'chisaron gamken, ela nimshachim mimenu. The Maharal of Prague explains in his work Sefer Gvurot Hashem, which is actually a wonderful commentary of the Maharal on the Haggadah of Pesach. The Maharal says, when there is a lack, a defect in the roots, it will ultimately prevent the complete flourishing and growth and development of the branches. Avraham Avinu is our first patriarch, and the Avot are very much that. They are the roots of our tree. And when the roots are defective, they affect the branches, the descendants of Am Yisrael, in a way that is truly, it really hits at our essence, at the core of who we are. Hayachet nimtza b'Avraham, turn to page 3, Shehu ha-shoresh, u'bishvil kach nimtza ha-onesh b'zar'o. Notice that all of these sources are making a very important assumption. Exile, enslavement, persecution does not come about except as a result of a preceding sin, of something that is lacking in us, that requires us to go through a period of suffering in order to purify ourselves, rectify the wrong, and bring us up to the level that we need to be at in order to receive the Torah. Says the Maharal, to Chalomar Shedat Rabotenu Zal, and we can add on Dat Ramban, Ki Hashem Yitbarach Hevi Et Zera Avraham Begalut, Mipnei Shelo Haya Avraham Mitchazek Kol Kach Be'emunah. Lachen Hevi Hashem Zaro Begalut, כדי שיקנו האמונה וידעו כוח מעשיו שהוא עושה לו אהביו וגבורתיו אשר עושה לו אויביו. סוף סוף היה שיעבוד וצרה ואין זה בלא חטא. And as the Maharal says on the last phrase, החטא בשורש הוא חטא עצמי. A sin in the roots is a sin in the etzem, in the sin in the essence of who we are. These are very, very strong criticisms of our first patriarch, but we need to understand. In actuality, all of Sefer Bereishit is really a training point, an education process to enable us to understand what Hashem wants from us, what we can expect from Hashem. Who is Hashem? His relationship with the world, his relationship to Am Yisrael. And through all of the great miracles that eventually took place in Mitzrayim, the Makot emphasize, V'yadu ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. We learn who Hashem is, what his Hashgacha Pratit is all about, his powers, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotent strength. And only then, when we fully understand what it means to be an Am HaNivchar, then we are ready to say Na'aseh V'Nishma. So that in the brief Ben HaBetarim, in Reshit Tedvav, in Source 8, Hashem reveals to Avraham, Yadoav Teda. Avraham had asked, Vamayda. And Hashem says, Yadoav Teda. When will we eventually inherit and conquer the land? Only after a period of time, ki ger yezaracha, ve'eretz lo lahem ba'avadu b'inuotam, 400 shana. While Ben of Jacob in source number 9 indicates to us that the symbolism of the ceremony really indicates that the bird being a symbol of freedom and the birds were undivided while all the other animals were cut up, and that the three other animals, he maintains, that were cut in the ceremony represent the generations of oppression. And the bird of prey descending on the carcasses is the oppressor who would devour our people. And eventually the memory of Abraham and the promise given to him allows the fourth generation to be redeemed. It is important to realize that exactly how all of this was going to play out has a measure still of free will and free choice. While one might feel a little unsettled after my discussion until now, that everything that happened to us in the future has already been predetermined, predestined by actions of our forefathers, yes, but actions of individuals which for which we are being held accountable, even though we ourselves did not partake, let us understand that within this divine decree, there is still a measure of latitude, of flexibility for Am Yisrael when they are themselves in Egypt, and how all of this will come to fruition. Pay attention, first of all, that the number, 400 shana, is a dangling clause. Ger yezarach be'eretz lo lahem v'avadum v'inu otam, in actuality, in the Tamei HaMikra, there's an etnachta under the word otam, a pause. And then we have the phrase 400 shana. So do these 400 years, do they apply to gerut plus shiabut plus inui? Do they only apply to gerut, but there will be less than 400 years of shiabud and inui? Do they apply to gerut plus shiabud, but less than 400 years of inui? How is all of this going to come to fruition? Hashem knows how to play with numbers when he wants to. And we know ultimately that we were only in Egypt for 210 years, and out of those years, we were not enslaved all 210, let alone we were not actually persecuted. Certainly not all 210. There is a measure of Bechirah Chofshit, and this is what we need to focus on. While Rashi reminds us in source number 10, when Yaakov sends Yosef to look for his brothers, we read Vayishlacheu Me'emek Chevron, that he was sent from the valley of Chevron. And Rashi interprets metaphorically, Me'etza amuka she'oto tzadik ha'kavur b'chevron, l'kayem ma she'ne'amar l'Avraham b'en ha'betarim ki ger yezaracha, that once Yaakov sent Yosef to look for the brothers, which resulted in their attempt to kill him, and then their sale of Yosef to Egypt, which started the whole story of Galut Mitzrayim, Rashi reminds you that really this is the beginning of the implementation of a long ago decree in the Brit Ben Haftarim to Avraham Avinu. But he's also indicating to you, as Chazal famously say, Megalgelin Chova al Yedei Chayav, that in order to bring about Galut Mitzrayim, Shiabud v'Inui Mitzrayim, very interestingly, it came about in its immediate circumstances, once again as a result of sin, of hatred between brothers, of attempts of one brother to be killed by his siblings, of a sale of a brother to Egypt, and the cover-up to their grief-stricken father. So therefore the question becomes, when we are in Mitzrayim, do we learn the lessons of Emunah that Hashem wants to teach us, which needs to be rectified in order to be able to become the Am HaNivchar? Do we learn these lessons immediately, or will it take much more training and education to reach this level of perfection? Because in actuality, Yechezkel HaNavi, in Source 11, teaches us that Im Mitzrayim lo avu lishmoa elai, ish et shikutzei eneim lo ishlichu, ved gilulei Mitzrayim lo azavu. Nechama Leibowitz teaches us that when we first went to Mitzrayim, Yosef isolated us up north in the land of Goshen. She says, this is the first Jewish ghetto. Hashem purposely isolated us up north. Yes, it was near the palace, Vayita Karov Elai, but he wanted us to be separate. That's why we told Paro we were shepherds. That way we wouldn't be able to stay with everyone else because they worship the sheep. Because he knew the enticements of this very rich, developed haute couture of Egyptian culture. He knew the seductiveness of assimilation. He had already undergone his own nisayon with Eshet Potiphar. And yet Yechezkel tells us that as isolated as Yosef attempted to make us, we were very much attracted to the outer culture around us. And we did not listen to Hashem, and we began to worship the idolatry of Egypt. In source 12, when we came to Paro initially, we said to him, Lagur ba'aretz banu, which reminds us of what Abraham intended to do when he first went down to Egypt. Lagul, to live there merely as a stranger. But what happened to us just a few psukim later in Pasuk Chazayin, Vayeshev Yisrael, we planted ourselves, a yeshiva, we rooted ourselves in the land. And pay attention to the repetitive language. Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Goshen. It should have just said what? Vayeshev Yisrael, Be'eretz Goshen. Why does it say Be'eretz Mitzrayim? We know Goshen is in Mitzrayim. Because we spread out. We didn't stay in the ghetto at that time. We were able to leave the ghetto. And we spread out to all parts of Egypt. And what did we do? Vayeachazuva. We had an achuzah. We made Eretz Mitzrayim, not just Eretz Goshen, we made it as a long-lasting achuzah, a possession. But in actuality, in Perek Memchet Pasuk Dalet, which I did not quote for you, Yaakov in his parting words to Yosef when he's about to bless Ephraim and Menashe, Yaakov had said to Yosef, you know, Hashem appeared to me. And he said to me, V'natati et ha'aretz hazot lezaracha acharecha achuzat olam. Eretz Kena'an is your achuzat olam, is your everlasting possession. How sad and tragic that B'nai Yisrael are looking upon Eretz Mitzrayim as what? Their achuzah. So that there is a plethora of Masorah in the Midrashei Agadah that indicate the extent to which we assimilated. In source 13, the Midrash says, in the second line, Keshemet Yosef, when Yosef, who really held it all together, he was the glue that kept us all together and maintained our identity in Egypt, when he died, Heferu Brit Milah. We abandoned Brit Milah, the Brit, the very sign that we are connected through a Brit, as Abraham was initially commanded to Hashem. And what did we say? Nihiyeh kemitzrayim. We will be like the Egyptians. We want to assimilate. We want to become part of the melting pot. So too in source 14, at the very beginning of Parashat Shemot, we read, The Yalkut Shimoni, slightly in an anachronistic way, says, Nitmalu batei teatraot ubatei tkir kasaot mehem. We filled the theaters and the circuses. I realize a little anachronistic for Egypt, but you understand that obviously in very blatant terms the Midrash is castigating Am Yisrael for their assimilation into Egyptian culture. Sfulno, in source 15, says, B'nai Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu. Vayishritzu? That's how you described our proliferation, our excessive propagation and reproduction within Egypt, that we were like reptiles, shratzim. So Sforno very interestingly reworks this statement and says, Achal, I'm in source 15, page 3, Achal Shemetu Kol Shirim Nefesh, after all the 70 original individuals, the core infrastructure of Am Yisrael passed away, Natu Lederech Shratzim, V'dalchei Shratzim, we tended towards the ways of reptiles. She-ra-tsim, revocalized, that run, she-ra-tsim, live-er-shachat, that run to the grave, we were digging our own graves in Egypt by assimilation. Reptiles. Insects. Now, source 16 says, wait a minute. On the one hand, we know, Shayum Mitzrayim, Ayuvdim Avodat Kochavim. We worshipped idolatry, but source 17 in the Mechilta says, I don't understand. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar on the third line says, V'chi lo haya biyadam sheYisrael dala mitzvot, she'en kol ha'olam kedai bahen. Didn't we have four positive things that we did in Egypt that really made us worthy of redemption, right? That we did not have immorality. We did not say Lashon Hara. We did not change our names. We did not change our language. We've all learned that those were the four major reasons that for which we merited redemption. But answers Rav Matya ben Cheresh, Hayu Yisrael Shtufin v'Avodah Zarah v'Mitzrayim v'Avodah Zarah Shtula k'neged kol ha'mitzvot. While we may have had some positive merits, the fact that we became idolatrous, that we betrayed our exclusive commitment and emunah to Hashem, that as if wipes out all of the positive that we demonstrated while we were in Mitzrayim. So the Ha'amek Davar in Source 18 emphasizes to us, when Bil'am said, "Hen am levadad yishkon," that we are a nation that resides alone, he very much understood, and maybe we need to learn from him, what it means to be Am Yisrael, what is truly the secret to our survival, and what is it that truly identifies us from and separates us, differentiates us from among all nations of the world? Because the Netziv tells us, most nations, when they go into exile, mitarvim im hamaglim otam, they just melt and mix into the rest of the populace, into the lands that they are exiled. Many empires used to like to, especially Assyria, when they exiled peoples, they would transport them and transplant them from one land to the next, so that everyone would really forget their identities. Why is that? Something that we need to discuss a little bit in a few moments. Because in order to be a nation, one is generally identified with the land of origin. And so when these nations were transplanted and mixed up and they didn't know what their land was, they lost their national identities. Says the Netziv, V'hein am levadad yishkon, on the second line of Source 18, lo ken am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is very different. Keshehu levadad, when we are alone, isolated, separate, different, even if we live among the other nations, and we do not assimilate, we do not abandon our national, spiritual identities, yishkon, then we get to live, then we get to survive, with honor and tranquility. But going down to the last set of underlines, Achshav shekchukatam ayalish davot im umot ha'olam. When our desire is to become equal to the nations of the world, kechol hagoyim naasu badad mehem. Then, if we don't remind ourselves how different we need to be, then the rest of the world, the nations themselves, remind us. And the nations don't allow us to completely be swallowed up in their nationalities. And he quotes you the very same midrash back in source number 13. And let's look at this midrash once again, because I skipped a very important line on the end of the second line after the three dots. We said we want to be like Egyptians. V'cheivan sha'asu chein, when we said this, hafach ha-kadosh baruch hu ha-ava shayu ha-mitzriim o'avin otan l'sin'ah. Hashem caused it that the Egyptians would begin to abhor us and forget all the great kindnesses that Yosef had done for them, and the fact that in actuality Yosef had really saved the land of Egypt. If we don't remind ourselves, Hashem reminds us. So therefore, we needed to be ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. We needed to be strangers in a land among the other peoples. Why? Because Hashem wanted us to feel strange. He wanted us to feel different. He wanted us to understand that although ultimately we do really have a universal mission as an Am HaNivchar, as Yeshayahu says, we are all lagoyim. We are a light unto the nations of the world. Hashem did not want to separate us and put us on an island in the middle of the ocean and we would just live isolated. Where is Eretz Yisrael? If anything, it's sandwiched between all the nations surrounding it. Why? Because we really do have a universal mission, Or Lagoyim. But in order to be an Or Lagoyim, we have to know who we are first. We live among them, but we are separate. We have a separate identity. And if we forget that we are Gerim, Vayeshev Yisrael v'yehachazuva, then unfortunately that's when we need to be enslaved and persecuted. The more we forget, the more enslaved and the more persecuted and the more we suffer, says this approach, in order to teach us our greatness, but yet also our mission as an Am Hashem. So that in Source 19 and 20, the Ramban introduces yet another factor to this particular perspective. And he says that in Sefer Shmot, at the time that we are redeemed, the text indicates, Vayhi miket shloshim shana v'arba me'ot shana vayhi be'etzem ayom hazeh yatzu kitzvot tzivot Hashem el Mitzrayim. At the end of, what's the number? 430 years. We left Egypt. 430? I thought it was supposed to be 400. Now, many Mefarshim start to recalculate, and they do a lot of very creative mathematics. Where did the extra 30 years really come from? Ramban, however, says, Hagzera haita arba me'ot shana. It was supposed to be 400 years. Where did the extra 30 years come from that we stayed in Egypt? Hashloshim shana ha'elu hem tosefet aleihem ba'avon hadorahu. Because we sinned and we needed extra lessons, more education, more training, more teaching to really understand the lessons of emunah and bitachon and who we are as an Am Ha'avot, an Am Hashem. Because we failed initially, Hashem needed to keep us in Egypt 30 extra years that we suffered before we actually proved, especially through the Korban Pesach, that we were willing to abandon the Egyptian past and move on to a beautiful future. And it is only once we davened to Hashem, says the Ramban, Vayizaku, Vatal Shavatam Ela Elohim, Vayishma Elohim et Nakatam. Once we realize that all we have left is Hashem to save us, and we davened, then Hashem decided to have Rachamim and listen to us. Or as my Rav from many years ago, Rav Daniel Epstein, says, why did we need Kriyat Yam Suf? Because we needed to do Kriya. We needed to really tear ourselves away from our past. Completely abandon it. Remember the Mesorah of the Avot. And finally be able to take all of those lessons to stand at Har Sinai. This is one approach to understanding the tremendous experiences and trials, tribulations, persecutions, suffering of Am Yisrael throughout a good part of Sefer Shmot. But is that all there is to it? In actuality, there are other lessons which we can glean from our experience in Galut Mitzrayim. As we learn in Tehillim, Ashrei HaGever Asher Tiasrenuka. Fortunate is the individual whom Hashem causes to suffer. And the Midrash in Source 21 teaches us, Chosech Shivto Sonei Beno. He who spares the rod and spoils the child, he hates the child. Ve'ohavo Shicharo Musar. But if you love your child, then from his very youth, in the dawn of his life, Shachar, you will give him Musar. You will discipline him. You will chastise him. Says the Midrash, this is Hashem who loves Bnei Yisrael. Shehu marbeh otan b'yisurim, that he causes us to suffer. Ata momse shalosh matanot tovot natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. V'chulam lo netanam lahem ela al yedei yisurim. Three great gifts Hashem gave us, and all of them did not come easy. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Chayei Olam Haba. Says Rav Hirsch, to help us understand a little bit more in Source 23. In one of his writings, which he titles Training Through Suffering, he says, if you think about all of our suffering, not only in Galut Mitzrayim, but also the suffering in the wilderness, he says they are to train and to test. As training, they teach you to know yourself, your nothingness, your greatness. They teach you to know Hashem, His power, His goodness. They give you strength to live in the active service of Hashem. As a test, they promote inner purity. They strengthen the inner powers, make the pure and strong still purer and stronger. It's not just for the individual that suffering is a school and a training, but also for Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael has been trained and tested in the Galut school of suffering. A hard pill to swallow, but yet a very true one. Says Rav Hirsch, one needs to understand that when Mitzrayim is called in Sefer Dvarim in Source 22, it is described as a cool barzel, an iron crucible. On the one hand, inside an iron crucible, it removes all the impurities, since we only have pure metal at the end of the vine. So yes, Galut removes all of our impurities, our defects. It purifies us. But in the iron crucible, it also shapes, enables us to shape and to mold the metal. And in actuality, these Midrashim are indicating to us that in Mitzrayim, we're going to see very interestingly, one of the Midrashim indicates that Egypt was like the womb of a mother. This is where we grew up as a nation. We became 600,000. We formed, at least physically, who we are. But this was a training ground, a testing ground. It forced us to understand that we are Avdei Hashem, and this is greater than being Avadim la'Avadim. It forced us to realize who we are, that once we are beaten down physically, we still have a pure, strong, inner spiritual core. It teaches us our nothingness on the one hand, but it also teaches us our greatness when we can survive despite the suffering, where we can show that we're willing to risk all for our emunah in Hashem in Galut. Certainly there are also various ethical, moral lessons which are clearly explicated in various mitzvot in the Chumash. When we learn in Source 24 that one is not allowed to oppress a convert, why not? Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. When we learn in Source 25 that we are supposed to treat an eved, a slave properly who has been sold and works for us, Why are we supposed to treat him properly? Lo tirdeh bo befarech. You're not supposed to oppress him with backbreaking labor. Why not? Ki avadai hem asher hoceiti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because I took out my slaves from Egypt. And the word befarech is only used in this context in Vayikra and in the beginning of Sefer Shmot. Same thing in Source 26. Our national persona is forged, molded within the iron crucible of Mitzrayim. And that is why it is important that although we still suffer today in Galut, and the Ramban reminds us in Source 27 that the future Galuyot were not supposed to take place except if we had sinned, nonetheless, the fact that we are surviving all of these generations, the miracle of our survival among the nations of the world, is supposed to prove to us, on the one hand, we are nothing except with the help of Hashem. But it also proves to us our greatness, that we have survived and maintained our unique identity despite all that we have gone through. So I would like to end off with, on page 5, I would like to end off with emphasizing that although we have focused on the lessons of exile, the Maharal also teaches us there are tremendous lessons to be learned from Geulah, from redemption. Pay attention to the Maharal, who bases his analysis on the Midrash in Source 30. The Maharal says in Source 31, where I underlined, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Yesod HaYesodot VeShoresh HaKol. Now, if you are familiar with the Rambam begins Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, how? Yesod HaYesodot VeAmud HaChokhmot, Leida, to know that there is a Hashem who created the world and He is the omnipotent creator. If you follow the first letters of each of those four words, Yud, He, Vav, He. The Maharal plays on this. Yesod HaYesodot VeShoresh HaKol, the fundamental principle, the root of everything, it's not Galut Mitzrayim, it's not exile, it's redemption, Geulat Mitzrayim. And that's why so many mitzvot, he says, are for what purpose? Zecher what? Not the Galut Mitzrayim, but Liyitziat Mitzrayim. Ki Yitziat Mitzrayim, where I underline in Source 31, Be'atzmo Chutz Me'anisim. He says, it's not that I'm talking about right now all the miracles, how Hashem redeemed us through the plagues and the actual redemption itself and Kriyat Yam Suf. He says, not the miracles. The Maharal says, the Yitziyah, the idea of being taken out. Yitziyah hu yisod ha'emunah she'alav nivnei hakol. So what does the Maharal mean? To what is he referring? Says the Maharal, we were enslaved and persecuted in a nation Shehem Hafachim Lahem, that is our opposite. The more you, when you are enslaved in something, when you are exposed to something that's opposite, two opposites clash. And in fact, that brings out the identity of each one even more so. Egypt was known, says the Maharal, Dvekim Biznut, they were known for their immorality. Yisrael Azera Emet Gedurim Ba'arayot Kedoshim Muvdalim Mikol Arayot. We were Kadosh, we were Muvdal Min Arayot. But what is Rav Maharal really getting at? The Midrash in Source 30 says, when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, it is like an ubar shehu natun betoch me'era shel behema. It's like we were a fetus within the womb of an animal. And the shepherd pulls out this newborn entity. Or, and that's why the Pasuk in Dvarim says, what is unique about us? Lakachat lo goy mikerev goy. It's playing on the word kerev. Kerev, ka'ayim, kirbayim, the kerev within the innards. We were a nation. How did we become a nation? We were pulled out from within another nation, and also uses the same crucible example. We were the hot molten gold that was pulled out from the iron crucible. What does this mean? If you think about it, where did we get the Torah? We received the Torah in no man's land, in a midbar. We were not taken to Eretz Yisrael and then received the Torah. What message is Hashem sending us? Because on the one hand, in order to receive the Torah, to become Amar Icha, the first thing we need to learn is who we are not. We lived among the nations of the world and we were pulled out from them. We were pulled out as a protest. We need to say to the nations of the world, first and foremost, we are not you. We know we are not you. Who are we? Well, when we get to Matan Torah, we'll learn who truly we are. But we are not you. We are pulled out from the other nations of the world because we are going to be separate, different, elevated, completely a unique identity in contrast to all the other nations of the world. Notice what the Maharal singles out. Our morality, our kedusha, muvdalim en arayot, that is really the key of what makes us great. The fact that we were created as a nation in no man's land means that Eretz Yisrael, although yes, we are tied to our land very much, but we can continue to exist not only as a religion, but as a nation outside of our land. Because our land was a gift, not a given. And that's why, when we sin, the land spits us out. It spits us out because this is a privilege to live in Eretz Yisrael. But it also means that our existence is not tied intrinsically, integrally to something physical, material like a land. We are Avdei Hashem. We are a supernatural nation. We did not come into being as a result of natural elements and forces like other nations who are truly, for their identities, essentially tied to their land. We are a nation that's why, in similar ways, when Adam HaRishon was created, he was created outside of Gan Eden. And then we learn that Hashem placed him in Gan Eden. Why? Because Gan Eden is a gift. Hashem gave him Gan Eden as a gift, and if he does not merit it, what happened? He's expelled from Gan Eden. So we need to learn, says the Maharal, not only from the lessons of Galut Mitzrayim, but also Geulat Mitzrayim, what makes us Am Hashem Am Yisrael. And I hope that with these lessons, we can learn them so that we can bring about the Geulah. B'mheirav Yameinu. Thank you.